What is up, Colts fans, and welcome to this special edition of the Locked On Colts podcast. I am your host, Zach Hicks, and today I'm kind of breaking the mold a little bit. We're not going to our traditional show structure, so all of you guys who love that stuff, you can check out all of our former videos. But guys, the Colts are officially in 2023 NFL draft mode, so you know what that means. A lot of prospect interviews coming your guys' way. If you guys have followed my work for the last couple years with HorseshoeHuddle.com, and even back to my days with Stampede Blue, I typically interview around 50 to 60, maybe even 70 prospects per draft season. And in the past, I've done a lot of written work with these interviews, but this year I wanted to be special, and I wanted to give it to you guys here on the podcast. So some of these interviews we will be featuring here on the podcast, and today is going to be exactly that. So our first prospect interview of the season is with Tulane safety Lummi Young. Now, I picked Lummi for my first interview this year because he was part of something special this past season with Tulane. They went from a 2-win team in 2021 to a 12-win team this past season, capping it off with a big victory against USC in the bowl game, where they were down 15 points with four minutes left. Just an outstanding game from that team, and Lummi was a big part of that. So, Lummi Young is going to be our first interview of the draft season. I'm excited to share this with you guys. He's a really great guy and really great person to talk to. And we also kind of dive into some nerd stuff of football, too, talking about that Vic Fangio style of defense and why it's so popular in the NFL now. So without further ado, guys, I want you to enjoy this first draft interview of the season with Tulane safety Lummi Young. Let's get to it.
You are Locked On Colts, your daily Indianapolis Colts podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, so I am joined by our first draft prospect of the season, Lummi Young from Tulane University, formerly from Duke University. And before we kind of get into all this football stuff here, I love to look at prospects and kind of what they do off the field, what they kind of are doing in school and stuff like that. And I saw that you majored in cultural anthropology. Is that what it was? Now, yeah. I'm not as smart as you are here, Lummi. What is cultural anthropology?
cultural anthropology. Well, anthropology is the study of people. So cultural anthropology is studying people through their cultures and just seeing how their history of whatever that place is, like how their ancestors used to do things, and kind of just trying to figure out why they do things like the way they do through their culture.
Cool, man. So like post-football, is that something like, what are you kind of planning on doing with all that kind of stuff?
That's a great question. with cultural anthropology specifically, I'm not really sure if I'll apply it in the sense that I learned it. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it can help me in other endeavors that I try to embark on. I feel like I want to do sports marketing.
Yeah. So
trying to tie that to sports marketing is kind of difficult, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, hey, most of these college degrees and stuff, it's mostly just to broaden your horizons and
exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly.
And that's definitely a great one for all that. But getting into some football talk now, you know, you went to Duke University for your first 4 years in college, and you were a part of like a really, really good program there. I mean, they had consistency just in terms of the coaching staff. You were lucky mm-hmm. to have basically the same coaching staff all 4 years, a lot of good players around you. So what was your experience like at Duke before you ultimately transferred this past season?
My experience at Duke was great. I was under Coach Cutcliffe, who was the head coach, very well-respected, freaking legend in the coaching world. So just being able to play for him, he has so much knowledge and tools to be successful that he gave to us, and just being able to hear him speak on that knowledge of football and just how to be a great person outside of football, that itself was a great experience. along with playing with some good players. Daniel Jones was there my first 2 years, so playing with him was great, and seeing what he's doing now in the NFL is truly amazing to me. Yeah, we had a lot of good players, that are now in the NFL. So just being on that team, learning from those guys, playing with those guys, it means a lot to me, and it was truly an amazing experience.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny. I remember Duke football. I watched a lot of your guys' defense a couple of years ago because I did a similar interview like this with Michael Carter.
Oh, dog. Yeah. My boy.
absolute dog. And he's killing it in the NFL. He's
killing it.
He's
crazy.
Yeah. I was shocked where he went in the draft. I think he went like day three or something.
Fourth, fifth round.
Yeah, and I was like, man, there's no way. But I loved watching your guys' defense that year, especially the way that you guys were. I think you guys were in a lot of nickel that year and stuff like that. And I saw a lot of him playing slot corner, outside corner, safety, and you guys were all kind of asked to do a lot of stuff like that. Was mm-hmm. Duke's defense specifically like, hey, yes, you're a safety, but you have to play kind of everywhere?
Well, for the most part, yeah, but Mike is just Mike is different. So, yeah, so it's kind of hard for him not to be on the field. If we had a guy go down, say we had a corner go down, he would move out there to corner. If we had everybody, he would play in the slot. If me or the other high safety was hurt, he would move to that position. So it was kind of, that was just more so Mike. He's kind of that guy that just knows everything, knows what everybody has to do, and can get guys in that position. He's just the type of leader that just, if you need him to do something, he's going to do it. So I feel like that's where a lot of that came from. But we did have it was the standard to know what the other position did, just in case, you know, we had to step over or fill in another position, that we can make sure that we were able to do that. So.
Yeah. So Duke University, you're there for 4 years. You have a really successful career. You guys can even go check out his highlights on YouTube there. ACC does a great job of putting out the highlights after each season and stuff like that. So you're leaving Duke, and of all the schools you could have gone to, you went to this 2-win program in Tulane, this terrible, terrible team. Like, I mean, they were awful. You go to Tulane for your final year, and I know you won, right? So you're going, why Tulane, man? Like, what was about that program where it was like, oh yeah, this 2-win team, this is where I want to win with my last year?
Well, that decision came, first of all, Coach Hamden reached out to DC, and he was at Duke in 2020. He was a corners coach in 2020. So we kind of had a little bit of a connection. So it was a lot of talking to him. And when I got on campus, and I was talking to some of the players and kind of like just like picking their brain about what they think was going on, why they weren't having the success they thought they should have. And especially for the 2-10 mm-hmm. year, they were telling me how they had the hurricane. They weren't at home for like the first 5 weeks of the season or something like that. And just a whole bunch of other stuff, injuries and stuff like that. So I was like, I'm not really looking at a 2-10 team. I'm looking at a team that's had to overcome a lot of hardships and struggles. And hearing them talk about all that stuff and just hearing how passionate they were about the game and how passionate they were about Tulane, I was just thinking, man, ain't no way they can do that again. There's no way we're going. Yeah. They can go 2-10 again. They just had a lot of problems last year. A lot of injury problems and a lot of stuff they couldn't control. So it was really just believing in how they were talking about the program and how they were talking about the coaches and stuff like that really made me look deeper past the record,
right?
And be like, oh man, these guys sound like they can win. They sound like they want to win. So I just took a leap of faith, and luckily turned out how it turned out.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. If you guys are not familiar with college football, because I know you guys are checking this from a NFL Colts fandom here, but Tulane football had one of the biggest turnarounds that we've seen in college football in a super long time. 2-10 the year before, like you said, a lot of issues with the hurricane and with injuries and stuff like that. they come out this year and what, two losses, I think, just outstanding season. We really
should have lost.
Yeah, right, right. Just rolling through everybody all season, though. One of the most high-octane, fun offenses, a strong defense as well. And then they go to the bowl game against USC and pull off one of the just most insane comebacks. I mean, down 15 points with 4 minutes left against a top-tier offense, a top-tier team that was looking to potentially be in the playoff the week before. You guys came back from down 15 points with 4 minutes left to win that game. I mean, I don't even, how do you even summarize this season here for Tulane? I mean, I just think special when I see it.
Definitely special. And I'm still waiting for my nails to grow back from that last couple minutes of that game. But I feel like the way I can best describe the season is, I can use a couple words, relentless. So for overall, it's a blessing. A lot of people didn't think we would be in this position, but like I said, we just had faith in each other, man. We just took it one game at a time. That was the whole motto. Every game, every week, just go 1-0. And if you can win one week at a time, you can just build on that. And man, this year was just so special. it was just so special, man. We had a lot of seniors, a lot of great leadership on the team, and we didn't have any guys that were selfish, man. We had everyone wanted to play for the guy next to him. Everyone wanted to play well for the fans, for the school, for the city of New Orleans, and I think that was a big thing. Guys just being unselfish and just wanting to compete. So, yeah, it was just great. It was just overall amazing.
Yeah, and before we talk a little bit about just some of the NFL stuff and getting into the NFL and kind of your path and all that stuff, I just, again, you're going to forever be a part of one of the coolest turnarounds that we've ever seen in college football. So that's just, that's just an awesome thing right there.
Yeah, very awesome. It's crazy. It still hasn't settled into my mind all the way yet.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So looking at the NFL, before we even get to your game and talk about kind of ways that you can get up there, I want to talk some football nerd stuff with you, because I just, you know, everyone who plays college football at a high level and stuff like that, like you have, just, I know there's a little bit of football nerd in there a little bit. So when you look at the NFL this year, we've seen a lot of the cover four, like quarters, you know, Vic Fangio type defenses that everyone's kind of going to it, where those two high safeties are sitting back. They're making offenses have to be conservative and slow and all that. Like, what's your overall thoughts on just what we've seen from NFL defenses this season?
Well, I think this season you kind of see defense trying to stop what offenses have become in recent years, which is big plays, chunk yard. So I think the big cover four thing is just trying to not as much as being soft, because a lot of people see it as soft coverage, but you try to limit explosives, and having those deep defenders, those two high safeties, allow them to play downhill. Just allows you to make the offense just take what they can get, in a sense, dink and dunk, short yards, throws, just rally up and make the tackle. So I feel like it's more so, like I said, trying to limit explosives. But, I mean it doesn't really work that well in some cases, but.
Yeah. But it's, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And kind of relating it to you, you know, you're a safety. The safety play, I think safety play across the NFL lately is just becoming so much more important with the way this stuff is. You can't have a liability at safety nowadays. No. Because if you do, Tyreek Hill is going to be 30 yards behind you.
30 yards behind everybody by himself. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. So for you as a safety, and you're seeing this, you know, I guess it kind of, is this kind of helping you through this process, just kind of refining your game and stuff like that? Like, what's kind of your thoughts as a safety seeing this new age of defense?
It definitely does. When I'm watching those guys, I kind of try to take a little bit of what they're doing, depending on who they're playing against. So it's like I'm watching guys playing against Tyreek Hill. I see how he gets out of his stance faster, out of his breaks faster than he normally would, more so anticipating what the receiver's going to do. So I take some of that and just kind of try to apply it, what I see to my game and try to take what I think could help me when I see those guys do it. So I just try to be a sponge, soak up things, and just try to reapply it in my own way.
Yeah, definitely. And I got one more kind of topic here with your game here, and we're going to have your dog on in a second, I guess, too. He's going crazy over there. Dog is losing.
It's like every dog. That's why I keep looking.
Oh. Yeah, but another big thing, especially with safeties, too, because I've seen this so many years. I've talked to safeties for years and just talked draft prospects in general. And one thing that's so important for safeties to make it in this league and just anyone in general is special teams play. It is being that special teams demon and being a guy who is, you know, from day one wants to be on special teams.
Yeah.
Is that kind of something that you're looking at as like, hey, maybe from day one, I'm not going to be a starter, but like, I need to be a dominant special teams player from day one.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And that's part of the reason why I was on so many special teams this year. I was on three out of four core special teams phases, and just going into the year, I kind of knew. Well, you always hear that's how you made the bus. Even my red shirt freshman year, I kept on hearing if you want to make the bus, you got to play special teams. Mm-hmm. And kind of just hearing that from early on, you just kind of learn to like special teams. if that's one of the only ways you can touch the field, I saw it as an opportunity to be a difference maker, because special teams, that's where you can change the game. Like, big in a split second. So for me, it also early on, my safeties coach at Duke, he was like, he told us if you don't start on the special team, you're not playing safety.
Right.
So kind of that, oh, this is a phase of the game that's very important, a phase of the game where you can make a difference. Just go be a dog, because it's most of the times it's really one-on-one matchups, and it's just you beating another man. So if you can do that, you make a play, and that can help your team win. So I feel like it's very important. I love special teams. Like I said, I feel like that's one of the only areas you can change the game in a split second. Like those big plays are huge plays in the game, and often plays that people see in the game as game-changing plays. So I take pride in special teams. Take a lot of pride in it. I love special teams. Hop up to play any special teams, especially if that's the way you can make the bus. Then I'm all here for it.